with y'all. Thank you for having us. Looking around, I'm amazed there are even more familiar faces than I knew. Like, putting the pieces together of who all comes to VOH. It's so cool. And I think Daniel, is that, did I get that? No. Okay, Daniel, for leading us in worship. I got so into it, I danced across the aisle at one point. And I was thinking to myself, if you were in Washington, D.C. leading worship, maybe the power of God would bring our nation together. So think about it. But thank you so much for having us. We have had a relationship with this church in one way or another for about 5 years. And you guys, I think even the people who know us, you don't know what a blessing this church has been to us already. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But the way that God has used you to help us to get to this point is just incredible to us. And we're just excited to come and thank you for that and share a little bit about what we have planned for the future. So thank you again for having us. As Pastor Dennis said, we're going with Wycliffe Bible translators. We want to demonstrate a little bit about why Bible translation is still necessary in the world. And the best way to do anything is with candy. So we've got three containers of M&Ms here. And we're going to show you all three of these. Now, some of you already know the answer. It's not fair. Here's what you have to do. You have to guess the total number of M&Ms, total combined. And whoever has the closest guess is going to get some M&Ms, okay? But you can't cheat. We're trusting you. So the total number of M&Ms. Think of a number. Get it in your head. Don't change it after I say the answer. Has everybody got an answer? Don't tell us yet. Don't tell us yet. Everybody's locked in? All right, the total number of M&Ms is 7,097. Okay. I counted them, I know. So I'm just curious now, was anybody close to 7,000 or anywhere close to that? Bryce, where were you? What'd you guess? 19,000, that's okay. That's okay. That's all right. You were hoping there were that many M&Ms. It was anybody lower than that? Maybe 8,000, 9,000? Anybody? 9,000? Okay, was anybody closer than that? Bless you. Was anybody closer than 9,000? Okay, that's okay. So, Job, you get some M&Ms. You can't eat them in the sanctuary, though, I don't think, right? Okay, all right. So, the point of this is that right now in the world, there are 7,097 living languages. So each one of these M&Ms represents a living language in the world. There's a group of people that is their main language. Could be a big group of people, a small group of people. That's their language. Each one of these represents something different. This container represents the number of languages that have the complete Bible translated already. This is 636 languages that have the full Bible translated. Right? It's pretty small, comparatively. The middle container, this is 2,587 languages in the world that have some part of the Bible translated already. It could be one verse, but they have some part of the Bible translated. It could be the whole New Testament. They all go in this group together. And the last group, this is the languages in the world that don't have any part of the Bible available to them at all. It is possible that somebody's working on a translation, but nothing has been published, and in general, people don't have any access to the Bible in a language that they really understand. That's 3,874 languages. Out of this, about 1,600 languages are still waiting for a project to even begin. So our goal in going overseas is basically to take one of these M&Ms and move it into the second container and then eventually, hopefully, get one M&M into the container that says we have the whole Bible available in a language that we can understand.
Right. So if I could have some volunteers, if I talk to you, could you come up here? So, I think we can all agree that the Bible is powerful and life-changing, and that's why we're here, right? We have seen the Word of God impact our lives. But imagine going through, if you can think back to a time when God spoke to you through His Word and really comforted you during a difficult time, or maybe encouraged you, or just told you something, gave you wisdom, gave you something that you needed to know at the time. And imagine during that time, if you didn't have the Bible in your language, what that would have been like. I want to ask my volunteers to read a verse that is pretty familiar to us. Jesus is talking to his disciples in John 14 about peace. So I'm going to ask them to read this verse. So this is John 14:27.
Okay, this is not English, but it says, "Bia kumi yang man nani wos wismi yang yang kumi yang like si tazba isa baku apia yang my kiss."
Really good.
So that is John 14:27. Let's hear it in this language.
When I go away, I go and make you guys' hearts rest inside, the kind of rest that only I can give. All the stuff inside the world no can make you guys rest inside, lidat. No let your heart come all funny kind of inside, no scared.
14:27.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful.
Thank you. And John 14:27.
Jesus says, I'm just kidding, it's blank.
Totally blank. So was there one version that sort of popped for you and made more sense to your heart language? Probably, right? but for millions of people in the world, their Bible looks like this, and they don't have a single verse of scripture. And so this is one of the reasons we want to bring the life-changing Word of God to the people that don't have it yet. So let's thank our volunteers. You did a great job.
I'll share a little bit of how I got started on the journey toward Bible translation. About 12 years ago, I went on a short month-long trip to Nicaragua. And I went as a translator because my Spanish was pretty good at that time. I could translate from English to Spanish. But my friend and I visited the East Coast where the people spoke another language called the Miskito language. And that's spelled M-I-S-K-I-T-O, Miskito. And when we would visit churches, my friend would preach and I would interpret into Spanish. And then a local pastor would have to interpret into the Miskito language so that there was dual translation. And the first thing that struck me was, this is awesome. Like, this is an interpreter's dream to be in the middle of all this interpretation. But the second thing that stood out to me was the people in the church didn't have a Bible. And the reason was, even though there was a Miskito Bible being worked on, it wasn't available to them yet. And so what they had to do, the pastor would read the Bible in Spanish and then just give them a quick summary of what the passage said. And they were just left at the mercy of the pastor. I believe he did a good job, but still, there's a lot that can go wrong with that. And plus, then the people can't take the Bible home and read it for themselves. So it got me thinking, like, this is a serious issue, and I didn't even know people were out there without the Bible. The next day, I went and actually met the local man who was helping to work on a Bible translation. And I knew right there, like, this is it for me. This is what I'm supposed to do with my life. I contacted Wycliffe Bible Translators, and they told me at that time that my student debt was too high. They said, go get a real job and come back when you're ready. And so I worked. I went to Taiwan to teach English. That's where I met my wife. Just recently, we paid off our student debt altogether, and we're, praise God for that. Praise God for that. And thank you for that. and we're ready to go and finally make this a reality.
So I caught the missions bug, but not the mosquito. The different anyway, I caught it when I was in high school. I don't know, I was just impressed that I was supposed to be involved in missions, but I had no idea at that point what shape or form that would take. And I had heard of Bible translation, and I thought that was really awesome, but I had no idea how I would go about actually becoming a Bible translator. So I went on my merry life and went to college, studied music, went to Taiwan, taught English, and met this wonderful, crazy person. And then we realized that this Bible translation thing, God was speaking to us both about it and leading us to come to Southern California to study at Biola and get ready to work with Wycliffe. So that's how we ended up here. And when we started studying linguistics at Biola, I realized that God had used all of the past experience in my life, music and teaching English, studying Chinese, all of that he used to prepare me for to work in linguistics and Bible translation. So that was cool, even though I had no idea how I was going to become a missionary. Like God already knew, and he had prepared the way for me. As Ben mentioned, we have paid off our student loans thanks to our jobs here, and we have totally enjoyed living here, and we're getting ready to move to Asia in August. Thank the Lord, we have recently met our financial goal of 100%, so we have, God just has provided all of our
Amen.
Needs.
Amen.
We are so thankful, and we're thankful for your part in that as well. We know that you guys have partnered with us in our Wycliffe ministry, but even before we joined Wycliffe, you have partnered with us. So thank you so much.
Can I get the English Bible? Yeah, that one. Actually, there's something about the Jesus book that's really fun too, but it's because it's so close to English, it's pretty, it's interesting to listen to. I like the Jesus book. I'm gonna go ahead and do I still have 20 minutes? So I'm gonna go ahead and speak a little bit today about how God can take something that looks so little to us and just do amazing, huge things with it. I want to start out by reading from Matthew 14. And in Matthew 14, verses 12 to 21, this is Jesus feeding the 5,000. And I'm starting in verse 12. His disciples came and took away the body and buried it, and they went and reported to Jesus. Now that's John the Baptist's body. He'd just been beheaded by Herod, and his disciples took away the body and buried it. Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and the hour is already late, so send the crowds away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food. And breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. They picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. There were about 5,000 men who ate, besides women and children. All right, so amazing miracle here that Jesus did was something pretty small. I want to add a couple verses from John because I think it adds a detail that's important here. In the book of John, chapter 6, 8 and 9. So this is when the disciple brings the fish and the loaves. In verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people?" And that's what I want to focus on, is that question. But what are these for so many people? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the miraculous way that you work. And our small efforts, our small gifts, our small service is made huge in your kingdom. Lord, we pray that you would give us confidence, not in ourselves, but in what you can do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus, in his ministry, he had a lot of ups and downs. I think that has to be stated. In this story, he's just found out that his cousin has died. And not only has his cousin died, his cousin has been murdered. And not only has his cousin been murdered, his cousin has been murdered because of the truth. John the Baptist came to testify about Jesus and to tell the truth, to prepare the way for Jesus. And because of preparing the way for Jesus, he was murdered. So on Jesus' mind at this time is the fact that his cousin was killed for his sake, for Jesus' sake. Now, Jesus had emotions just like we had, and he needed some time to get away. So when he heard about this, he took everybody, his disciples, they'd all been working hard, and he said, "We got to go someplace and just get away from all these people and process and pray and think about this, because there's a lot going on." What happens? People see Jesus, this miracle worker. They see him going to another place. They calculate where he's going, and they run ahead. And when they find him, he's just getting off the boat. And imagine Jesus. You'd be so tempted to be like, "Oh, great." Just trying to get away and grieve. Grieve and pray, and here's all these people again. But Jesus doesn't do that. Even though I can imagine he was running on low sleep and low emotional energy, whatever he had left, he said, "These people need it, and I'm going to give the little that I've got left here to these people who've come to me." Now, his disciples weren't necessarily a huge fan of that. Like, they were looking for ways to get rid of these people because they needed some rest. They didn't have a whole lot left. And when it came time to eat, they came and talked to Jesus. They're like, "Hey, why don't you just kind of send these other people away? They can go get their food, we can get our food, and we can finally have a chance to rest." Jesus talks to him and he says, "You bring me food to give these people." Now the disciples, picture them going to the crowd. I never even thought about it before, that in all these 5,000 men plus the women and the children, what have they got? They've got a little bit of bread, a couple fish. Could it really be that that's all that people had with them? Maybe you had some grown-ups in there that were kind of hoarding their food too and weren't willing to share. But here's this little kid who says, "I've got this. I made this for you." And maybe has no idea that it's impossible for this to do any good. And so he says, "I think this could do some good. I'll come and add this to the pot and let's see what can happen with this." That is the faith of a child that I think Jesus is calling us all to have. When it's so easy for us in our minds and our reasoning to say, this is nothing. This could never do anything. A child would bring it and say, "Here, what can this do?" This applies to our lives in so many ways. So let me tell you a couple stories about where we've been. Like Kim said, we already met our financial goals for going overseas. We don't have any need, and we're so thankful for that. A week ago, we were desperate. We were desperate and just praying and crying out for God to do anything. I got a phone call from an older woman, she's probably 90 in our church, and she said, "My husband and I, we want to help you, and we can give you $10 a month. I'm so sorry it's so small. I'm so sorry. I wish it could be more." And I just started crying, thinking to myself, you have no idea the encouragement you're giving us. You have no idea the difference that this gift that looks small to you makes in our life as we're pushing forward toward this goal. It's huge. And it got me thinking, like, there are probably people who could give $5 a month. There are probably people who could give $1 a month. And they're sitting there thinking, yeah, but what could this do? I hardly have anything to give. What difference could this possibly make? It could make a huge difference. On June 14th, one day before our deadline, we needed $35 a month. And I was at the computer waiting for emails, praying like, God, please just let somebody email to say they can give us $35 a month. Kim has a friend in Taiwan who said that she was going to give us something. And I wrote her. I'm like, so how much do you think you're going to give us per month? I knew we needed $35. I didn't tell her. And she wrote back and she said, I'm going to give you $33.31. And I'm like, why? Because that leaves us with a need of $1.69. So, like, per month, we need $1.69 to meet our goal, and we've got to meet that goal. Otherwise, we can't go for another year, and we've got one more day to reach this deadline. We've been working for a year to get this, and everything now rests on $1.69 per month. And I wrote her back, and I'm like, just trying to feel out the situation, like, could I reason with her here? I'm like, why'd you choose this number? And she's like, well, because God is Trinity, the three in one. So I've got three threes and he is one, 33, 31. I'm like, okay, I get it. All right, good number. And, so then the rest of the day, for about 6 hours, I just sat there looking at the computer, praying, and looking at the computer, praying, thinking about it, like, $1.69 per month could keep us back. $1.69 after a year of working and all this stuff. Now, yeah, I knew I could call my family and I could try to get somebody to give more, but I just sat there in it and I'm like, $1.69 is the difference between us going and us not going. It's a difference between us translating God's word and not translating God's word, at least starting in the next year. And it just hit me. There's nobody that couldn't do $1.69. And I was thinking about myself and how at times I've wanted to give to somebody, but it's like, oh, this is so little, I couldn't do anything. $1.69. Like, you have no idea what God can do with that gift that to you looks so small. But that could be the difference between something happening and something not happening. The point there, I think, that I take from that is that we are not responsible to make the whole thing happen. So often it's like there's a need, and I feel like I need to be the answer to this, and I need to make it happen. And if I can't give enough, well, I'll just not give. I'll just hold back. We together as the body of Christ worldwide, we're working together and God is using us together to make all this stuff happen. And we each have something to put in, whether it's our money or our time or our gifts. We got something, no matter how small it looks to us, to add and contribute to what God is doing. And he'll do great things with that, whatever it is. In addition to that, we're all pulling together and God is working through us, but God just does miraculous things that we could never anticipate. This church, 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago, gave us a gift of $1,200. And at that point, we were working at Lights On Learning. We miss you, Stephanie. See you soon. We were working at Lights On Learning, and we had just come back from Taiwan. We didn't have a car. And we were carpooling with another guy that we knew. We knew he was going to quit and move. And we knew we got to get a car now or we're going to quit Lights On Learning. At that point, Stephanie talked to us. Pastor Dennis contacted us and said, we got $1,200 we want to give you to help you get a car. And we said, thank you. And we're amazed at that gift in itself. And we used it to buy a car, which helped us stay at Lights On Learning. We stayed there for a little while, and Southlands Christian School had a need for a teacher and liked us, and they hired me on first, and then they hired Kim on. And working in that job, we were able to make enough to pay off our debts. which has freed us up to go. And not only that, we've met people at that school who have then since partnered with us financially, which has made it possible for us to take this step out overseas. So looking back at that $1,200 gift, I don't think any of us had any idea how far that would go. That's what it made it, that's what made it possible to pay off our debts. That's what is making it possible for us to go to the mission field. God took that and he blessed it and he broke it and he has used it far beyond what we could have ever imagined. On the individual level, I just want to wrap this up here pretty quick. Whatever gifts God has given you, don't doubt the hugeness of what he can do through you. Maybe you're looking at the upcoming trip to Iraq, and you're thinking, yeah, but what do I have to offer to that? Like, they're all teachers, and they're all this and this. What could I possibly offer? No, if he's calling you to go, he's going to take whatever you got, and he's going to use it in ways you couldn't possibly imagine. You got Coach Mike going to Japan, and maybe you're thinking, I've only got that $1.69 to give. I can't give much. Well, that's going to make a huge difference in the life of Coach and the team that goes, and then the people that they reach for Jesus in Japan. God can take these small things that we have in our hands and do huge things with them. I'll wrap up with one more story about Wycliffe Bible Translators. I think this story sort of encapsulates our dream and our goal for what God will do through us and our little efforts. There was a group that went from Wycliffe Bible Translators to the Taboli people in the Philippines. And when they arrived there to start translating the Bible, they noticed a lot of kids had burn marks on their arms, a lot of just scarring from burn marks on their arms. And they asked, what's up with all these scars on the children's arms? What they found out was in the Taboli culture, their idea of the afterlife is that when you die, you're put on a bridge, and on the other side of the bridge is paradise. And you've got to cross the bridge before you can enter paradise. But the problem is, on that bridge, there's this spirit. And that spirit's goal is to push you off the bridge into the abyss. So you have to find a way to get past this spirit so you can enter paradise. And the Taboli people, they believed the only thing that you could do to fight that spirit was to use light. In their ideas, in their mythology, somehow in the afterlife, if the afterworld, light came out of the scars on your body. So new parents would take their children and they would take little pieces of cotton and dip them in kerosene and light them on fire and burn their children's arms in the belief that that would somehow give them the light they needed to cross the bridge and enter heaven. Now, as the missionaries worked on the Bible translation, this continued, it kept happening until they got to the point where they learned that Jesus is the light of the world. And now if you go there, you would see that there are children with no scars, no damage on their arms, because they would tell you, we know now that Jesus is the light of the world. He is the one that chases away the darkness, and he is the one that bears the scars on his arms so that we can enter heaven. All of that starts with this little thing. How could this make any difference? Whether it's the money I give or the time I give or the little gift that looks so tiny to me, and how could God ever work through this? Well, God works in miraculous ways to accomplish things that we could never imagine through our weakness. Thank you, guys, so much. We are so glad to be here and to thank you for being a huge part in what where we've come so far and where we're going. We do have a newsletter that we send out by email. If anybody would like to just keep up with us and where we're going, we'll pass that around in a little bit. But otherwise, we just love to talk to you after the service. So let's pray. Praise God. Praise God. You are good. Lord, we have seen so clearly how you can work through our weakness. And even when we were doubting, even when we're afraid that you could never work through us or the little that we have to offer, you still do it in spite of us. Lord, I pray that you would encourage every one of our hearts to follow your lead in whatever you call us to do, wherever you call us to go. Help us to have courage and to know that you're going to do great things with it and that it's all for your name's sake. Thank you, Lord, for this precious church. We pray that you'll bless them in all their endeavors in Iraq and in Japan and right here in Walnut. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name.